With SDPB News, I'm Jackson Dirks. One of the most challenging questions facing the medical field is the future of rural health. In an era when more rural hospitals close than open, USD is hoping to create more opportunity and doctors for smaller communities. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
The USD Sanford School of Medicine is South Dakota's only medical school. As rural hospitals shutter, the university leaders say the time to address the issue is today. Significant gaps in care exist in much of the state, especially west of the Missouri River. Dr. Jason Wickersham is Associate Dean of Rural Medicine at USD.
Once you cross that, there is no obstetrics until you get to Rapid City and Spearfish. So I think that is certainly a concern for the school.
With obstetrics as an example, or any other medical care in need of a specialist, it adds up for a patient.
If you're a woman in Faith, South Dakota, and you have to drive, you know, through the course of a pregnancy, you have multiple visits, initially probably monthly, and as you get closer to being due, many times weekly. And that means taking a whole day off work, or at least a half a day minimum, to drive 2 to 3 hours somewhere to see your obstetrician, have a 15-minute appointment, drive 2 to 3 hours back. I mean, that's just the prenatal care.
Among USD's efforts to close this gap is putting students on a road to consider rural practice as a viable career path. During Wickersham's career as a rural practitioner, he says he found being a small community doctor profoundly rewarding. Growing up in a small community, he says he wanted to practice in a small town for medical school.
There's lots of opportunities. There are wonderful rural facilities that provide great health care to their patients. I mean, there's pros and cons to living anywhere. When you're a physician in a small town, patients trust you, they love you, they support you.
Among USD's connection efforts is the Frontier in Rural Medicine, or FARM, program, which immerses students in rural clinical settings. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
As South Dakota lawmakers grapple with how to effectively rehabilitate inmates in prison who are suffering with substance abuse, some are pointing to opioid settlement dollars as a possible aid. At a legislative committee meeting analyzing how to lower the state's recidivism rate, state legislators learned that since 2020, 90% of inmates assessed at intake were found to have a substance abuse disorder. In the group's final meeting, they discussed the need to approach these individuals differently. Chris Carr is a Senate president pro tempore. He says they're talking a lot about how to treat people, but legislators must acknowledge the state isn't doing what it needs to do.
In almost $40 million that we're sitting on, we're waiting for bureaucrats to decide how to use them. That's been going on all summer. I've yet to hear a timeline or a plan, but I know that the Attorney General threw out an idea working with our two largest cities and their mayors to get those dollars out into the communities for treatment. And those dollars can be used not just for opioid treatment, but for meth and other treatments as well, substance abuse. Got to be aware of that to know if we're going to do something, let's start doing it, and let's not wait for government to do something.
There are competing ideas for what those funds should be used for. Lower Brule Senator Tamara Grove says she would like to see those funds used for some of the underserved areas in South Dakota closer to the tribes.
Go towards nonprofits that are willing to like start those kinds of things up in the central and then the western side of the state.
Grove says putting the funds in the center of the state would give wider access to people who don't live close to the rehabilitative services in Sioux Falls and Rapid City. She adds funds could support workforce development that's specific to South Dakota's labor force. She says she believes that would set individuals who struggle with substance abuse on a path to success.
Ranching, farming. I'm West River, so I'm going to think about fire and rescue. I'm going to think about cleaning up the pine needles on the forest floors. And people are going to have learned skills, put their hands in the ground.
The Department of Social Services, which is administering the settlement funds, is expecting $98.8 million through 2038. The South Dakota legislature largely agrees something needs to change with the state's approach to prisons and rehabilitation. With two bodies of government now working to find solutions, immediate change during the upcoming legislative session is a real possibility. Governor Larry Rodin formalized the Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force following the legislature's approval to build a 1,500-bed men's prison in Sioux Falls. However, a legislative study was created prior to focus on reducing South Dakota's recidivism rate. The governor appointed a task force is focused focused on long-term correctional rehabilitation. The legislature's committee focused on initial incarceration, reentry analysis, and comparison of relevant states. This interim committee has a chance to make a more immediate impact on the prison system alongside the governor's separate, coinciding task force. Sioux Falls Representative Greg Jameson is co-chair of the legislative committee.
So we have a session starting in January, of course, and our group can come up with some legislation that could change the rules in which the DOC operates and or even start programs through recommendations that came through all those discussions that the DOC sees as valuable. And so even the Burl Cain approach could initially really begin tomorrow.
Jameson says he expects their final draft of proposals and recommendations to come out within the next few days and weeks. Representative Tony Randolph is on the legislative committee as well. During committee discussion, he said he's approaching their work as two-pronged.
There's two things we can do, a short term and a long term. The short term is where we can change how we look at the nonviolent felonies. We can make some differences in there, and that will actually, in the short term, change some of that. And the other has to do with the technical parole violations as well. We change that portion of it as well, that will change some of the recidivism in the short term. In the long term, I think implementing these programs that we've talked about here today, that changes the head and the heart of the inmates, that's the long-term solution.
Randolph specifically mentioned a Christian-based program that was pitched by Burl Cain, the commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Corrections. Sanford Health and the Prairie Lakes Healthcare System are combining organizations. Prairie Lakes is an independent provider serving 90,000 people in a 10-county region that includes northeastern South Dakota and western Minnesota. The organization has 800 employees and 60 providers. Over time, Prairie Lakes will transition to the Sanford Health name and brand. Patients will continue to see their current providers. Sanford says they're committed to ensuring patients don't see any disruptions in care. This month, libraries across the state are celebrating the joy of reading by launching a new initiative. Storytime South Dakota promotes early literacy and family engagement. Participating libraries are hosting special storytime events featuring the award-winning book, Lou, a children's picture book about a fire hydrant and unlikely neighborhood hero. Written by Brianna Carzu, the book encourages kids to discover their self-worth. The state library says the events highlight the value of reading aloud and the role of libraries in supporting young readers. The state library says reading to children strengthens literacy skills that help them become confident, capable readers. Contact your local library for details about Storytime South Dakota events in your community. Six South Dakota bridges will soon be renamed after veterans who died while serving the nation in World War II. These are part of the Fallen Heroes Bridge Dedication Program through the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs. A state bridge dedication ceremony is scheduled for Veterans Day in Sioux Falls at the South Dakota Military Heritage Alliance. The event begins at 2 p.m. Central. You can find a list of the veterans being honored at our website at sdpb.org/news. As state lawmakers look to improve rehabilitation within prison walls, some spent the summer on a legislative study with the goal of reducing recidivism. Let's listen to some of the legislators on the study discuss their key takeaways on how to move forward.
Senator Perry.
Criminal justice reform is really important, but it's better to do the important things that we've done as a state and as a committee. I have three things that I'm going to mention. We need to expand our education and our job training. If we do a better job doing those things, we'll have better people resulting from it. We need to strengthen our reentry and our transition support. We've learned a lot in a short period of time. Our committee, this is not the end of a committee. This is the beginning of a system. And soon going to be a meeting on these things with the governor's task force. But the other thing is expanding our mental health and substance abuse treatment programs. We can't keep doing the things that we did before over and over and expect to have a new outcome. We need to make change. And that's what this is all about. We're listening to your input. We appreciate your input. And hopefully we're able to take the things that you've given us and through our two co-chairmen here, they're able to put this into writing so that we can actually do a couple bills that'll make a big difference. Not for us. We don't need the glory. What this is for is for you. And the person out there that said, you know, it's not the person in jail that's or in prison that's just the person, it's all of us. We're a team, we're all one.
Senator Smith.
Takeaways that I'll be specifically looking at, and it breaks it down for me. I find we have a lack right now of treatment opportunities, or if there are the opportunities, folks aren't getting them in a timely manner, or we aren't keeping people in a safe place long enough to have the impact of that treatment help along there with counseling as well. When we have the level of trauma from an entire lifetime for many of our inmates, it's incomprehensible for most of us, and the level of care that people need and the support they need. Also looking at training opportunities, be it vocational education or higher ed opportunities or GED. I think education is the key to success for changing lives throughout our entire state, and it's no different behind the walls. So I think having those opportunities to have people be able to use the time that they're serving to better themselves and their families and their communities makes lots of sense. And then it's the support, though, that we need to make sure that we're doing follow-up and support, because just opening the door and saying good luck doesn't work. We know that.
Representative Whitman.
A few of the things I'll be taking away, or I guess carrying with me into our next task force, is going to be how do we better formalize some of these partnerships? There's a lot of groups that are doing great work and that are impacting different populations, because every person that's incarcerated is going to need a different kind of support system and a different approach to them. So how do we maybe formalize those partnerships a little bit more and break down those silos between the organizations that are doing this good work? And then I would just continue to advocate for the fact that anything we bring forward or we recommend has got to have a bipartisan lens to it. We have seen great successes with criminal justice reform in states that are very conservative and states that are very progressive. And so we know that that is not always going to be what makes the decision for us. But I think if we continue to have these robust conversations with a lot of different stakeholders, we're going to have better outcomes.
Senator Carr.
Well, treatment. That's what we hear. And I also hear a lot of activity, but I want to know what the outcomes are. I've been sitting through, like I said, these presentations now for years. We've really, in the last 4 years, been focusing on conversations about what's happening in our prison and defending what's happening. You know, I think we have a tendency to defend our current activity, behavior, the status quo, if you will. And when you talk about government and bureaucracy, I think it's, you know, tenfold. They like to defend what they're doing. We're going to hear more testimony, I believe, today, saying we're already doing these things, providing these services. I know that this administration acknowledges that we need to do something. That's why they put together this task force. So I look forward to approaching this with problem solving and immediate problem solving. It's really easy to sit here and say, well, we tried, we did something, and kick the can further down the road. That happens all the time with summer studies and task force. My takeaway, I'm glad that we heard from the group, I'll call it the Burl Cain approach, because I don't know much more about it, to say, you know, we don't have to just rely on government to fix everything. They were able to bring in, you know, a nonprofit, raise the money, and have an outside educator come in and help. Also heard from CSG saying how important treatment is, especially out in the community. We talk about treatment, and then you got to talk about dollars. So I think at the very least we walk away today acknowledging that we're not doing what we need to do, and that we need to keep a really open mind to some ideas. But I think that that's where we got to start. We got to start by saying, no idea is a bad idea right now. Let's hear it out and figure out what works. Let's have some proof and some data to back that up.
More information on the legislative study and the governor's correctional rehabilitation task force can be found at sdpb.org/news. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks, and that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPBNews and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.